Thank you, Brother James. Very much appreciate the opportunity to be with you all tonight, and hope the Lord will bless this time to be beneficial to each of you and ultimately glorifying to Him. This evening, I'd like to turn your attention to 2 Samuel chapter 9, to a very familiar chapter in the Word of God and a very familiar experience that King David had. As you read in this chapter, you'll find that David is going to display a great kindness to an individual that most kings would have had no kindness towards at all. David, in the seventh chapter of this same book, had asked what he could essentially do for God by building God a house. And of course, the Lord let him know that that would be something that would be left for Solomon to do, not for David, for various reasons. So in the ninth chapter, he asks the question, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now, David had made a covenant with Jonathan in 1 Samuel chapter 20. And in that covenant, they agreed, or Jonathan understood, that he would not be king, that David would reign in his place. But one of the things that Jonathan asked for is that David would show kindness to him by sparing his life, but also the life of his children. David had not forgotten that covenant and that promise, and even though it may have seemed delayed by the time that Mephibosheth is going to see the reality of this covenant, David, from the time that Saul and Jonathan are slain in battle, has been very busy and active in taking the throne and establishing his kingdom, settling affairs, vanquishing enemies. You will find it'll be later after this experience that David begins, after things have quieted down, his sin with Bathsheba. But up to this point, David has been very faithfully executing his office as king to bring about peace and security for the nation. When things began to calm, he now asked this question, if there was any that is left of the house of Saul. Now, the usual custom in this day and time that David lives is that when one family takes over a throne, he would ensure that all descendants of the former king would be slain so that there would be none that could say they had right to that throne or that could pose themselves as any kind of threat to that man or to that man's seed after him. But you'll find that King David does not operate in that way. From the very moment that Samuel is told of God that David is to be king and Samuel anoints David, David still has great respect for Saul. He would not, even though he had opportunity to take Saul's life, he would not reach forth his hand, as he said, against the Lord's anointed. And so even as Saul was pursuing his life, David showed a great respect for the office which Saul held and understood that that was God's anointed and God would be the one to take him out of the way at the right place and at the right time. And I learned from that that we can rush the will of God if we're not careful. That there's times that you and I just need to be patient. There may be something that is certainly within the will of God, but yet it's not the right time. In fact, Saul was sitting upon the throne in Israel because Israel just simply wasn't waiting for the right time. I do believe by the word of God, according to Genesis, we find that Judah was the one that was marked out to be the tribe of kings, but yet there was a curse upon that tribe that would have been ended with David's father, Jesse, and David could have been the very first king that Israel had, but Israel got in a hurry, and so they selected out Saul to be their king. But David had not forgotten this covenant that he and Jonathan had made. They loved each other greatly. As you know the story of David and Jonathan, the Bible says that their souls were knit together. They had a friendship that was extremely close, and I'm very grateful that I have a couple men in my life that I could consider Jonathans for me, and I'm very thankful the Lord has brought them into my life. But here, David wants to know if there's any left of the house of Saul that he might show kindness for Jonathan's sake. There's a man by the name of Ziba who is a servant of Saul that he comes before David and lets him know that there is yet a son of Jonathan. And as you read back in 2 Samuel chapter 4, when word comes that Saul and Jonathan have died in battle, Mephibosheth is taken by his nurse and rushed out to save his life. And in the process of rushing outside of the house of Saul, she drops Mephibosheth. He's injured at the age of 5, and from that point forward will be lame the rest of his days. So this young man, being rushed out due to fear, is injured in all of the commotion, and that injury will go with him the rest of his days. But David, we'll see at the end of this, will cover that lameness by bringing him into his home, and more than that, ultimately to his table where he can feast and rejoice at the king's table. So mentioned in this day and time, it's very uncommon for a king to show any kind of kindness to the family of a vanquished king. But David does some extraordinary things. When Samuel, excuse me, I keep saying, when Saul died, if you'll recall, the individual that came to give that report to David thought that David would be pleased by that report, but David was not. In fact, instructed that that man be put to death. We'll find that after the death of Saul, another one of his sons will reign in his stead. Ishbosheth is his name, and he is put to death in the fourth chapter of 2 Samuel. And once again, that word is brought to David. In fact, they bring the severed head of this son of Saul, thinking that this would be a trophy and that David would rejoice that now, hopefully, the kingdom would be united that's been divided. But David reminds them of how he treated the individual that slew King Saul and orders that they would also be slain, and they were. David, throughout his life, will show a respect for Saul, I think primarily because he was God's anointed, but also because how much he loved Jonathan. So as we go forward in this story, we find many rich truths found throughout this chapter. We find that Ziba calls to the house of one of Maker, and that's in a place called Lodabar where he lives. And this young man, Mephibosheth, has lived there, presumably for quite some time. This man has given him comfort and aid and assistance. He's lived there in hiding, but he's now found out, and that King David knows where he dwells, knows where he lives, and has called for him to come forth. This individual that has housed this young man for all these years, Maker, will reappear later in 2 Samuel chapter 17 when King David is fleeing the throne because of his son Absalom. In fact, the Bible says that he and another will bring out beds and basins. They bring out all sorts of provisions of food because they understand that David and all his company with him, they are hungry there in the wilderness as they're outside of the city of Jerusalem, fleeing for their lives away from Absalom. So here, this man who has succored the life of Mephibosheth will later, in turn, for David's kindness to Mephibosheth and the kingdom, will turn and do a kindness for King David. So we find that David, he sends for Mephibosheth, and of course he comes. And as he comes before King David, he falls on his face and did reverence. The Bible says in verse 6 that David said to Mephibosheth, and he answered and said, "Behold, thy servant." Notice this young man does not come before King David as one who feels that he has the right to the throne. His uncle felt that he had the right to the throne, and so he reigned in Saul's stead. But this young man who had fled in fear at the age of 5, he does not come with any kind of arrogance. He understands that David is the Lord's anointed. He understands that this is the man after God's heart. This is the man that God has selected to sit upon the throne of Israel and to reign in Judah. This is the man that God has appointed. And so he responds to David by saying, "I am your servant." The word servant in the Bible, we often think of just simply as one who ministers, but it has a deeper meaning than that, a stronger meaning. It's the word we would have used for slave in our own history. And what Mephibosheth has just said is, "I am here before you, and I'm willing to be a slave to the king over Israel." But David says to him in verse 7, "Fear not." In the Word of God, when that phrase, "fear not," comes forth, you'll find that there's always a reason, or maybe multiple reasons, given why we're not to be afraid. And David is no less than how the Lord is when he says to fear not. He tells Mephibosheth the reason he's not to be afraid. He says, first of all, I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. So we're going to find that Mephibosheth is going to receive a blessing, not because of who he is, but because of who his father was. And you and I have received great blessing, not because of who we are, but for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, that we're to be kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Anytime you receive the forgiveness of God, you feel that forgiveness in your heart when you've done wrong and you've asked for that forgiveness, and God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, we need to always keep in memory that's not because who we are. It's because who Jesus is. God forgives us for Jesus' sake. And here in this case, David tells Mephibosheth he's not to be afraid because he wants to show him kindness for Jonathan, his father's sake. But then he gives him the second reason. He says, I'm going to restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father. Again, very unusual for a king to do something like this. It's unusual, number one, just to show him the kindness to start with. But now to say, on top of showing you kindness for Jonathan's sake, I'm going to give you everything that was Saul's, everything that belonged to your father and your grandfather. I'm going to ensure that you have as well. And then he says, lastly, he says, and you're going to eat bread at my table continually. So not only am I going to show you kindness, and not only am I going to restore to you lands that your father and grandfather held, more than that, I'm going to bring you into continual fellowship with me, the king here at my table. And so we find that Mephibosheth responds the right way. It says he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? He had the right attitude. He understood that he wasn't worthy of these things. And that's exactly the approach that you and I ought to have when God blesses us. He's been ever so gracious and kind to us. He feeds us. Some of us just a few moments ago were attending the meeting held by Brother John Scott there out of Georgia and got to hear Brother James Isaac preach to us about the ministry of the apostles and the commandment of Jesus and how that they were to go forth. And I was fed by that. And I was grateful to be at the king's table for a few moments. Last weekend, I was in Texas and during a meeting there was able to hear another man preach the gospel and preach about heaven. I tell you, that was wonderful just to sit and hear a man of God preach about heaven and make me stop and just leave the thoughts of this world and to think about the world to come. And to know in those moments I was able to sit at the king's table. I know who I am and I know what I am, and I don't deserve that in the least, but I'm so grateful that for Jesus' sake, God has been so kind to me, and in his providence, he's brought me to the house of my master's brethren, and I've been able to rejoice and feast at the king's table in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ now for over 30 years. And I don't ever want to take that for granted. And I hope that the gospel message, the good news of the finished work of Jesus Christ, I hope that never is something that I grow tired of or something that I would ever want to enhance, but just simply take it as it is. You know, the Bible says they took Jesus even as he was. And that's exactly how I want to take him, just as he is, not try to add anything to his gospel or take anything from it. But here Mephibosheth, he bows himself. He says, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? And then we find that not only does King David give him kindness for Jonathan's sake, give him the lands of his grandfather Saul, and then allow him to eat at his table continually, he also gives him servants to take care of all the property and land that's been given to him. Later, after King David would have to flee because of Absalom, we find that as in the commotion of all that was transpiring, Mephibosheth was trying to also leave the city with David, but he was tricked by this man Ziba. This man Ziba is an interesting character in the Bible, but he's tricked by him, and this man always seems to be trying to seek an advantage. Mephibosheth is left behind, but he's lied about to King David. And David is told that Mephibosheth has stayed in Jerusalem, that while Absalom is gone pursuing King David, Mephibosheth, in David's mind, is back in Jerusalem trying to establish again the throne of Saul that would have gone to Jonathan, that then would have gone to this man. Now, that wasn't true, but that's all that David knows. And when David appears back on the scene after he is his enemy has been put to death, he comes to Mephibosheth, and this man comes to him. He hasn't trimmed his beard. He hasn't cleaned himself in all this time that the king has been away. And King David is going to give him and Ziba a great portion. But Mephibosheth refuses. He's satisfied that his king is back in his proper place, in his home, at his table, sitting upon his throne. He had the right attitude about this man, King David. So it says at the end of this that Mephibosheth, I have trouble sometimes saying his name, dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. As I think, as I try to wrap up some of these thoughts, you and I, we're much like this man, Mephibosheth. Here he was hiding. He was weak. He was lame. He was fearful before the king came to him. He was separated from his king because of the wickedness of his ancestors. And you and I, outside of being born of the Spirit of God, before we were born of the Spirit of God, we also were separated from God because of the sin of our father Adam. We're also separated from our king because of our own actions. The Bible lets us know that we're sinners by nature, but we're also sinners by practice. Out of fear, this man stayed away. He didn't know the nature of King David, and because of that, it caused fear, and so he stayed in hiding. For many years, he could have enjoyed the king's table, but out of fear, he was separated. He was separated because he didn't know the love of the king. One of these things is this thing is true about Mephibosheth is true for us as well. He didn't seek out King David. King David sought him. And we didn't seek the Lord. The Lord sought us. We weren't out looking for the Lord. The Lord knew exactly where we were. And thankfully, he came to where we were. But just like this young man received kindness for the sake of another, you and I, we received kindness because of Jesus' sake. We find that the king gave to this man what he lost. But more than that, he gave him beyond. He gave him fellowship with the king. And you and I, we've been given by the Lord Jesus Christ what was lost by Adam. But more than that, you and I now are not just sinless in the sight of God, which we are. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But we're in a better place than we were, than what Adam was in before the fall, because now we cannot fall again. We can never be plunged into that state of condemnation ever again. So we've been given even more than what we had before this great loss. And we have the privilege of provision at the king's table. But more than that, we are privileged to sit at the king's table as sons. And that's exactly how David treated this young man. But also notice King David gave him servants. You know, the Lord has given us servants as well. A little while ago, I've already mentioned Brother James was blessed to serve when he served the gospel message to us this evening. I hope from time to time I'm blessed to be your servant for the Lord's sake. All of us have been blessed to serve at different times. God has blessed us with servants to help us in the journey along the way. But notice this, the king's honor, it doesn't immediately take away our weaknesses. It doesn't immediately take away our lameness. It does give us favor. It helps us to overcome the sting and changes the way we hopefully think about ourselves. But right now, it hasn't fully taken away the lameness of our lives. But it does give us the great hope. The king sitting at his table hearing the gospel message gives us the great hope that day's coming that we're going to be made in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, and our lameness will be fully and finally taken away, and we'll be in the greatest place. We'll be in glory. And as it says in the Song of Solomon, he brought me to his banqueting house. Listen, I thank God for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God for the gospel message and the feasting we're able to enjoy as pilgrims and sojourners here in this world. But as great as that is, I don't believe it can even begin to compare but the glory that we shall experience in heaven when we finally sit in the banqueting house with the banner over us being the everlasting love of God. Thank God that just like David loved this young man because of a covenant that he made with Jonathan, God, our Father, loves you and I because of a covenant that he made with his Son and with the Holy Spirit. And you and I have been blessed, continue to be blessed, and will be blessed because of a promise made by God to himself. And we continue to be the blessed recipients of it. May God bless you this evening is our prayer. Brother James, I'll turn it back to you.